Today on Straight Talk Africa, is it a changing of the guard or fundamental change needed in Liberia? A discussion with one of the contenders for the presidency, hoping to succeed incumbent Ellen Johnson Sirleaf in the upcoming presidential election. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America here in Washington. I am Shaka Sali.
And hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Ayan Bior, your social media reporter.
Today, it's a conversation with one of the contenders for the presidency in the upcoming Liberian elections.
And coming up later, our audience has weighed in on our topic through emails, Facebook and Twitter comments, and we'll reveal some of them ahead on Straight Talk Africa.
Liberia's march toward democracy has been relatively impressive in Africa, especially since the election that brought to power Ellen Johnson Sirleaf more than a decade ago. My colleague Paul Sisco has more.
Let's begin with William Tolbert. The 20th president served the Liberian people from 1971 to 1980. He rose to the presidency after being elected vice president to William Tubman in 1952, 65 years ago. President Tubman died in office. At the time, Liberia was a one-party state with limited civil liberties and the judiciary and legislative branches subservient to the executive. Tolbert initiated important democratic reforms, among them barring the president from serving more than 8 years or two terms. Significant opposition came from members of the legislature seeking to repeal the constitutional amendment. Tolbert was killed in a coup d'etat led by then Master Sergeant Samuel Doe on April 12, 1980. Doe ran the country with an iron fist, organized controversial president elections, corrupted in 1985, and was assassinated in 1990. Charles Taylor emerged then as president following the 1997 general elections. He resigned 6 years later on August 11, 2003. Successors followed. The presidency resumed January 16, 2006, following the election of Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, Africa's first democratically elected female president. She held senior government positions under Tolbert and Samuel Doe and lost her first presidential bid to Charles Taylor in 1997. She won the 2005 election, taking office in January 2006. Taylor is now in jail, tried and convicted of crimes against humanity by a UN special tribunal for Sierra Leone. Today, at least 8 Liberians are running in the October presidential contest. A recent poll says the two frontrunners are Vice President Joseph Boakai of the ruling Unity Party and former soccer standout George Weah of the Coalition for Democratic Change, important because two candidates will move on to a runoff election. Also running, Charles Brumskun of the Liberty Party, former rebel leader Prince Johnson, and businessmen Jeremiah Wapoe, Benoni Wure, and Richard Miller. The only woman in the contest is Ambassador Magdela Cooper. The former international model lost her father in Liberia's civil war. After living in exile in Cote d'Ivoire, she rejoined her mother and brothers in the United States, where she went to college, got a degree, and became a model. Ambassador Cooper and her nonprofit Magdela Cooper Foundation established Liberia's first tuition-free boarding school in 2010 and has received numerous awards from several humanitarian organizations. Liberia's next president, the successor to President Sirleaf, will be determined in a two-candidate runoff following the October vote and be inaugurated in January 2018. Paul Sisco, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Paul, for that interesting report. And joining us here in our Washington studio are two distinguished guests. And one of them is Ambassador Magdela Cooper, a Liberian presidential candidate and the founder and the chief executive officer Magdela Cooper Foundation. I have to say, Madam Ambassador, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you so much for having me, Chaka.
You're most welcome. And my colleague, James Butte himself, VOA's English to Africa, managing editor and host of Daybreak Africa program. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, Jomo Shaka. Nice to be here.
And what is Daybreak Africa?
Well, Daybreak Africa is the, I would say, signature program for the English to Africa division. the fact that we have too many stations, radio stations that carry this, our program. So it's a very important program. People listen, get up in the morning. I get emails in the morning. People say, I stay up in the morning just to be able to listen to you. So it makes me proud to do the show.
I gather that it is the first international program,
yes,
broadcasting in English,
yes,
that hits Africa very early in the morning before people wake up. Is that correct?
Exactly, exactly. And that's what makes us very famous. Because in the morning, there's nothing else people listen to except to Daybreak Africa. And so every day when I receive emails, I'm very proud to be a part of the show.
Have you ever had the honor, for example, to host Ambassador Makidera Cooper on Daybreak Africa?
I was just talking to her that we've been missing each other. We've been trading emails. We've been trading text messages. And now I'm happy to be here in your presence.
Okay. Madam Ambassador, once again, it's a pleasure to have you on the set.
It's great to be here.
But if you really don't mind, could you tell us about what makes you tick? Who is Ambassador Makidera Cooper, really?
Well, Jacques, that's a great question. And varieties of ways to answer that question. I was born in Liberia in the mid-70s and lived in a countryside in the outskirts of River G. Eventually moved back to Montserrat County, which is the capital, mm-hmm, where I lived until the start of the Civil War. And right at the start of the Civil War, my father was the first one taken out of my family, and we haven't seen him since. My brothers and I fled in search of my father, and we ended up in a refugee camp in a bordering country where I spent a few years and eventually got an immigration visa to come to America, study, and eventually in 2003, I started a charity to give back at least channel resources to Liberia. Mm-hmm. And so I've spent the past 15 years doing that. And now I'm in Liberia just trying to figure out how I can be more productive and more helpful to the country.
Very interesting. I realize, of course, in doing my research that you went to college somewhere in New Jersey.
That's right. That's right. The College of New Jersey, to be exact.
And you studied what? Communication.
That's right, electronic communications.
So how did you end up as a model? Is that some aspect of communication?
No, it was actually quite an interesting career choice. When I migrated, as I said, to America, I lived in the projects of Newark, New Jersey. And I came to America just a starving refugee, barely had one meal per day.
Really?
So I was very thin. And that's one of the requirements of being a model in America. And so photographers pick me up and offer me so much, so much work. And I use the funds I got from my modeling career to, take care of myself.
It's very interesting for a very young kid from those refugee camps in Ivory Coast. Yeah. Several years later, you find yourself playing in the major leagues.
Yes, that's right. That's right. It's an American dream.
Very interesting.
Yes.
Now, talk to us about the ambassador. When someone talks about ambassador, it invokes something like plenipotential, mm-hmm, extraordinary, meaning you are accredited, mm-hmm, somewhere by your country. Yes. But there are so many other, different types of ambassadors.
Sure. My ambassadorship is actually not an accreditation for my country. My ambassadorship is an accreditation from a UN agency.
Interesting.
So I'm a goodwill ambassador, that represents women and children. And so I was picked up by Impact Leadership 21 to represent the organization's interest in, mm-hmm, promoting and women in the corporate world and providing, seeing to it that women have access to resources. And so we work with women from two different angles, mm-hmm, women trying to get into C-suites and break through that glass ceiling, but also in a developing world, working with women, seeing to it that young girls have access to education and access to work, which would then give them the resources to take care of them and their family.
Ambassador Cooper, if you were to talk to us, mm-hmm, from the deepest, bitter part, mm, of the bottom of your Liberian heart and soul,
sure,
why would you like to be president of Liberia?
Great question again. As a young woman, I was forced to flee out of my country due to the conflict, the 14-year conflict. After being rescued by the Ivory Coast and then America, having an opportunity at life, and I'm speaking now from the deepest part of my myself, not just on paper or knowledge base. After being rescued by these countries, getting an education, I thought it necessary not just to enjoy the benefit of these countries, but now take back what I've learned and apply across the board for my for the rest of the people in my country. Mm-hmm. There, we currently have, and I don't want to get too much into stats, I know that will come later on during the conversation, the adult literacy rate in my country is 41%, mm-hmm. meaning we have close to 60% people in Liberia out of 1.2 million that are uneducated. As a young educated Liberian woman, as a young educated African woman, it is now my duty not just to obtain education in the Western world and stay here and apply it here. It's now time to go back and apply it across the board so more people can be like me, educated. And with an educated society, we will have a better society.
Mm. I realize that you have a foundation.
I do.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, sure. In 2003, right at the signing of the peace agreement, I was very excited. I found myself in a, like you said, in the midst of the height of my success and doing very well in New York City. I had a, you know, just a revelation to do more for my country and its people. Mm-hmm. I started this foundation. I absolutely will confess I had no idea what I was doing because at that time, foundations were ran by families with millions of dollars in their bank account and they felt the need to give some out. They started charities to get tax exempt. And so I started this charity to channel resources to Liberians, especially refugees that were returning from the bordering refugee camps. Mm-hmm. And that effort led me into now building boarding schools across Liberia, actually specifically in Montgomery County, where I take children off the streets at the age of 4 years old and give them access to four basic human rights, access to education, to mm-hmm. health care, to nutrition and security, meaning shelter. And so this foundation has really allowed me to give back to my country, which I'm forever indebted to.
And that, of course, is through one of your schools called the Makadera Cooper Academy?
That's right. That's right. Yes.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. James?
Yes.
I cannot perhaps think about anyone in this building who has covered Liberia very, very closely.
Thank you.
As you have.
Thank you.
Does what the ambassador say ring a bell?
Very interesting. Yes, it does. I just wanted to ask you, Ambassador Cooper, sure. About your foundation. Yeah. Suppose people criticize you, then they will say, okay, we don't see your foundation. What would you tell them? They don't see anything concrete about your foundation.
Sure.
What would you say?
Well, the foundation started its work in Maserato County. Yeah. We started in an area called Zugba Town on Duper Road. We saw this community where hundreds and hundreds of children just roaming the streets, living in these zinc houses, mm-hmm. Where they take metal sheets and wrap sticks, just wrap these sheets around sticks, and this is where the children live. And when I walked through these streets of Zogba Town, Duper Road, I thought to myself, Liberia will never have a future if we allow our children to grow up in these conditions. Yeah. And so I started providing scholarships for students in the Zogba Town district. That effort led us to putting kids into different schools across Duper Road. Mm-hmm. The Action Fit, Candlelight, those projects became very successful, with the exception of the fact that the children didn't come from homes that were equipped to assist them in an education effort. So although the scholarships were paid, but these children still weren't making it to the schoolhouses because they didn't have a meal at home to eat sometimes. They didn't have transportation for those who had to go far. We sent expanded outside of Duper Road and went to other communities around Liberia, just doing the same thing, providing scholarship for students from elementary to middle school and to high school and university level. We worked along with Cuttington University, putting some students in Cuttington. So as a humanitarian, as a philanthropist, I didn't see the need to advertise myself across Liberia because there was such a great need in Liberia. The country at the time was 3.7 million people. Unemployment rate was at 85%, or sometimes 90. It went up as far as 90. So we did what we could within the communities we could work in. It was just an individual effort with a few friends supporting my initiative. And so it wasn't until we got into this race did I start advertising what we've done across the board. But I will say this really quickly. I'll let you step in. On the night of my pronouncement of my intent to run in this 2017 presidential election, we had the school students come out to give their testimonies, a few students that we worked with in the past. And I didn't realize what we've done over the years until I saw those young people giving their testimony.
Very interesting, Ambassador Cooper. Unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally. Mm-hmm. Before we pause for a short break, we want to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now streaming on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa and watch our show live, and don't forget to share it with your friends. Also, we are on Twitter and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka, that's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Liberia Election, and we'll put some of your tweets on air later in the show. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
Could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on the Voice of America. For more information, visit our website at www.voanews.com/African Beat.
There are a lot of your colleagues, when it is about time to end their terms, basically what they do is the shifting of political constitutional goalposts. Is that something that you could even remotely think about?
Our Constitution forbids it. Our people won't allow it. And I don't want it. So the answer is no.
Very interesting. Who is your role model, your hero, as far as leaders in Liberia are concerned? And in fact, is there any particular individual that lent their shoulders to you so that you can stand on them in order for you to see a little bit further?
Well, you know, there are a few individuals that play certain roles in my personal life. And there are folks in the public space that I also look to for, I guess, inspiration. I say this all the time. I give Madame Sirleaf the credit for being a peace ambassador in our country during a time when we needed peace. She came in and she sustained 12 years of peace in our country. And it allowed someone like me, a refugee, to go back home. And now that she handle and carry on the peace process, it's time to move on to development. So that's one thing I'm very interested in. And there are other individuals, there are spiritual leaders within the country that I look to for spiritual guidance. There are individuals who play a significant role in the political space. And but personally, you know, I guess I left Liberia a little early on when I was about 16 years old, 13, went to Ivory Coast, 16, came to America. And so folks whose shoulders I've had the privilege to ride on to give me that leap to where I am today, they're all over the world, not just Liberia alone. But I look at myself, especially through my philanthropic process or efforts, I've given a lot of young people my shoulders to fly on or to stand on, to leap. That's something people criticize Liberians a lot for, that we have a crab mentality. Mm-hmm. And I say it's quite the contrary.
Meaning
we pull each other down versus pushing each other up. And I say, no. As a young woman, during a period of my life when most young women my age were looking for exciting things to do, I had dedicated my life to service of my country. To allow young people to ride on my shoulders, I came here, I was extremely privileged to have gotten a full academic scholarship to go to any university of my choice in the state of New Jersey. And that was merely luck.
Interesting.
And so I made it an effort to go back home to give as many scholarships across Liberia, irrespective of my connection, tribal connection, political connection, or social connection to those individuals. And so I've been privileged enough to have been called a role model to a lot of young people. Of course, I myself don't necessarily have that many role models in Liberia.
I was wondering, Ms. Cooper, these are some of the issues that are driving the discussion now before we get into the political movement officially. The issue of the code of conduct.
Sure.
The issue of whether some of the candidates have dual citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
For you particularly, I'd like to know also, what is your political party?
Sure.
Okay. So let's take it from there first. The issue of the code of conduct.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, that may not apply to you because I don't know if you have ever worked in government.
No, never.
What's your view on dual citizenship? Do you have a U.S. citizenship?
Well, when I entered the gates of Newark, New Jersey, I was given a green card, which I still am very privileged to have. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that's considered dual citizenship. Is that?
Are you a U.S. citizen?
I have a green card. I was given a green card. My view of the code of conduct.
I mean, when I say, have you raised your hand to say that you pledge allegiance to the United States?
I don't recall doing so.
Okay.
Well, you have a green card, you don't do that, right?
Well, eventually some people can have green cards and they become U.S. citizens.
Well, I didn't answer your question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let me ask you a question, sure. James. Your country has been independent since 1847,
yes.
From what I have seen. Are there any specific individuals that you look at and say these are some of the key, most important leaders that Liberia has had?
Well, as a young man growing up in Liberia, I mean, William V.S. Thurman was president when I was a young man growing up. That's almost the president I knew before Talbert and then Samuel K. Doe.
You mean William R. Talbert?
William R. Talbert was the vice president for William V.S. Thurman. William V.S. Thurman was the president. And
who
then
died
William
in office?
R. Talbert.
Who died in office?
That he stayed in power for so long, like some of the presidents.
Correct.
And then his vice president was William R. Talbert. Talbert was the one that was killed. So I followed Liberian politics. I would say, like all of them, like most African leaders, they did something for the country. It's just that what I think the people were very angry about was the longevity in power and the fact that some of the so-called native Liberians did not have a part to play in the ruling of the country. That's what led to the coup. So if I would say, I would say William V.S. Thurman, he stayed long. Some people say he brought development, but what I would say is that many Liberians felt then that they were excluded from the leadership, political. They didn't have a voice.
But didn't, Talbert Jr. Play a very significant role in bringing about major political reforms
mm-hmm.
in Liberia? A man, for example, who instituted, frankly, presidential term limits.
Yeah.
A man who tried to integrate the indigenous into the system to the extent that I was doing my research, some of his colleagues were alarmed and saying, come on, man, this is letting the peasants into the kitchen.
Yeah. And you know, you're right, but some people they felt it was a little too late. By the time they got to realize what he was trying to do, there was already enough agitation to go against his leadership. The so-called natives have become so informed about their exclusion in the system, in the government system. So by the time people came to realize what he was trying, the reforms he was trying to institute, it was late, already late. And so the coup came about in 1980.
1980.
Yeah.
I remember I was an undergraduate student in upstate New York at the time. And in fact, I have a lot of friends who were students from Liberia mm-hmm. at this time. Let me ask you a question, Madam Cooper. There are some critics out there who think that you have what they characterize as a credibility problem. They talk about character, integrity. If, again, you were to talk to us from the deepest bitter part of the bottom of your Liberian heart and soul,
sure.
What makes you think, frankly, that you have what it takes to be the fountain of honor in as far as your country is concerned?
Sure. You know, after working and serving Liberia for so many years of my life, I see the need for more opportunities across the board for Liberians.
Mm-hmm.
There is a Liberia that exists that has been what James talked about, a Liberia that has benefited a few individuals in the country. Privilege, the privileged 15%, 85% unemployment rate. We talk about education. A vast majority of the country remain uneducated in 2017. We have a plethora of problems across the country. My idea for Liberia is a Liberia for Liberians.
Mm-hmm.
First, every country citizen must enjoy the country. Today, there is a Liberian that's enjoyed by everyone else but Liberians. Propagandists have used tribalism, political affiliation, economics, to divide the Liberian people. So James spoke earlier about this whole native and Conga man scenario, which still exists. And oftentimes people think dress code make them more native than the educated. You take a native man out of the indigenous part and you educate him, all of a sudden he joins the privileged class and he forgets his own people. See, I'm a new generation of Liberians who don't care about the tribal, the political, or the economic status. I gain the privilege I've gained in life through education and hard work. And that is the message I'm sharing across the board. It's Liberia first, not the Lofa man first or the Grand Judean man first. All those things that have been used to hold our people back is of the past, according to my generation. And I will not be a hypocrite to tell a person because I come from this part of the country, I'm going to create situation or arrangements for people from this part of the country and leave the rest out. On a UN or United Nations level, we talk about the need for girls' education. But my comment is, we can educate more girls today, but let's not forget the young black man that needs to be educated as well. So Liberians voters are much smarter in 2017 than they were 2005 and 11. And come October 10th, 2017, the Liberian people are going to vote for the person who they feel will bring Liberians together, unite Liberia, build a strong economy. But before we do that, we have to create basic services across the board for all persons that calls themselves a Liberian, irrespective of their tribal affiliation. And that is the Liberia I want to build that will be benefit every person, leaving no child uneducated. Whether you're a countryman's child or you're a Conga man's child, I want to see to it that every child has access to education. I want to see to it that we have less infant mortality. I want to see to it that we build medical institutions that will care for every citizen of Liberia, irrespective, once again, of tribal affiliation.
So if I heard you correctly, then you would embrace policies that reflect social, economic justice for all Liberians.
Absolutely.
Very interesting.
You have a question? Can I ask a question?
We have 1 minute to...
Okay, quickly. Earlier, I asked you for your political party. Right now, the other parties are talking about building coalitions.
Sure.
I wonder, first of all, tell me first your political party, and I wonder if you're thinking about a coalition with other parties.
Absolutely. My political party is the Union of Liberian Democrats. It's a very small grassroots party that I came in and revitalized, and we have built a movement with the right message for the Liberian people. And number two, I do plan to join a coalition, but a correlation and with a party that preach the same message that I'm preaching. There are a lot of parties that make a lot of noise. They have a lot of people around them. They call themselves the biggest parties. But they're preaching all the wrong message to the Liberian people, message of divides, message of if we don't get it, the whole country will be destroyed. This is not the time the international community is watching us. Out of the $650 million national operating budget we have, only $100 million is coming from the sales of our commodities.
Madam Cooper, yes. I hate to say it, there's no democracy in Studio 52. If a producer says you have to go, Unfortunately, you have to go.
Sure.
You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment, including our social media segment. So please, don't go away.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. It's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Ayen Bior. Take it away, Ayen.
Thanks, Shaka. As we've been discussing, Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf leaves office in October at the end of her second term. Many are wondering what the future will hold for the West African nation. Well, this leads us to our question of the week, which asks, who would you like to see as the next president of Liberia after Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, and why? Well, before we begin, I'd like to thank all of you for using our social media platforms to communicate with us. And another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Use the hashtag VOA Liberia Elections. And if you haven't yet, please follow us at VOA Shaka. And speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from Sorali Nasari, who says, I am from Tanzania. I think a good leader is from our lovely God. Let us pray to God. Well, thank you for that comment. And now to our comment of the week from Facebook fan Nabunjo Hadija from Uganda, who writes, I would like to go with a person who is determined, focused, brave, and strong, enough to fight for people's rights. I would like to see someone who is going to bring about change and brighten the image of the country. We need new faces to be on board, just like the newly elected French president, Emmanuel Macron. Such a young president. I wish the same could happen on our continent. Well, let's go to another comment from a Facebook fan, Onyat Benedict from Uganda, who writes, George Weah would suit me to be the next president. He has everything in life, fame, riches, and can unite all the countries since he is well known in Liberia, plus the world at large. I know Weah can attract investors to help create more jobs for the youth. And our last comment comes from Greens Kansime, also in Uganda, who writes, I congratulate President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf for her tremendous achievements during her two terms of presidency. So considering gender balance, I would suggest the next president be a man, none other than George Weah, who will ensure the steady progress of his predecessor. Very interesting. Now, a reminder that we appreciate all of the audience feedback, so please keep them coming. And if you're a new fan, drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com, or post your comments on our Facebook page. Enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Interact with our show as it's streaming live. And be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV to Africa. And of course, follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. A reminder that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Go to VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website, or simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program. On the next Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth look at the significance of Africa Day, formerly known as African Freedom Day and African Liberation Day. Africa Day commemorates the creation of the Organization of African Unity on May 25, 1963. Nearly 40 years later, the OAU was replaced by the African Union. The historical and cultural meaning of Africa Day on the next Straight Talk Africa. Well, Shaka, that's all for today's social media segment. You and the guest have a lot of social media comments to discuss. Back to you.
Thank you very much for sharing with us the social media reaction. And welcome back to a conversation on the upcoming presidential elections in Liberia. Our distinguished guests are Ambassador Makidela Cooper, Liberian presidential candidate, and James Bate, managing editor of VOA's Daybreak Africa radio program. I have to say that, Ambassador and James, again, I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the two of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. Your reaction, please, to the social media.
I would have liked to see more comments from Liberia social media.
I'm surprised too.
Yes, really. Yeah. Because, you know, the young people on the other side of Africa are not getting a day-to-day feed from what's happening on the ground in Liberia. So their perspective might be a little different or, you know, based on past news and not current affairs.
What about the fact, for example, that one of the social media comments suggested that you don't really have a chance on the ground, that on the contrary, it probably could very well be a George Weah who used to be an international soccer star.
George Weah has ran two other previous times, 2005 and 2011. This is his third run for the presidency. Mm-hmm. Technically his second, but ideally he ran as a VP in 2011. He was young at the time.
Yes.
Now he's a senator in the Senate, and I think we'll be happy to keep George Weah in the Senate. But McDowell Cooper is on his scene. I didn't run against George Weah or anybody else. This is my first term, and I intend to win this thing come October 10th.
You know, you talk about somebody running twice, and probably because of that not having a chance. What about the new Ghanaian president, Nana Akufo-Addo?
Absolutely.
He won it on the third time.
Yep.
A man called Lula da Silva in Brazil won it on the fourth time.
Very patient people. Huh? Very patient people.
Yeah. I wanted to ask Ms. Cooper, you mentioned George Weah.
Sure.
What is your relationship with George Weah? I mean, there are people, I talked earlier about coalition building.
Sure.
Do you have any particular relationship with all of those candidates that you can work with? And particularly, what is your relationship with George Weah? And secondly, there's something called the 10-year residency clause in the Liberian Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Have you resided in Liberia 10 consecutive years before you decided to run for the president?
Great question, James.
Does it, in fact, have to be 10 consecutive years? Because I was looking at the eligibility requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, basically, it simply says have resided in Liberia for at least 10 years.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So let's take it
out.
Have you?
Let's just say this. I started the foundation's efforts in 2003.
Yeah.
In 2005, I moved back home. Mm-hmm. And as a result of the lack of opportunities and resources in Liberia, mm-hmm. I oftentimes frequent in a Western world to raise funds and go back and do my work. So, of course, indeed, I've been in Liberia since 2005, and I have all the records to show that.
So what's your relationship with George Weah?
George Weah, like every other candidate in the race, are very good friends of mine. I'm a new breed of politician that believe politics is just an idea. When we're done discussing politics, we go talk about other things pertaining to our country. So George Weah is a very good friend. So is Alex Cummings. And so is Joseph Boakai and everybody else in the race. I have no enemies and no one's my enemy. Everybody's my friend. So I bring a different style of leadership to the table.
James, I know that you have problems with this Union of Liberia Democrats Party, ULD, because it probably started in 2005, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But let's face it, we just heard, by the way, that the new president
of France,
Emmanuel Macron, did not have a party.
Yep, that's right.
Nobody gave him a chance, in fact.
That's exactly right.
Don't misunderstand me.
He happens now to be in Élysée, Paris. There is a man called Adama Barrow.
That's right.
The new Gambian president.
Exactly.
This is the first time he ran for office. Okay. In this town where we are, where some of the most important decisions that affect the rest of the world are made, we have a new kid in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Donald Trump.
That's right.
Who came from nowhere.
That is correct.
Yes.
You had Brexit.
Yes, yes.
In the United Kingdom. Yes. So what's your problem?
No, I
don't. Things are changing. The world is not static, my friend.
Don't misunderstand me.
The world is dynamic.
Don't misunderstand me, Shaka. I don't have a particular problem with... I'm just asking a question about a political party. Remember now, it comes to recognition, name recognition, identification. That's what I'm saying. That even in the Gambia, the president of Gambia ran on a coalition that was made up of parties that were well known.
Yeah, but basically, parties, frankly, that did not have a chance.
A choice. They didn't have the choice
in winning because you were not talking about elections here. Yeah. You're talking about selections.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. You have to understand there are two important factors in the world, and especially in Africa. The proliferation of the social media, which obviously brings information to a lot of people.
That's right.
And also the changing demographics.
That's right.
The young people who are not invested in the status quo.
That's right.
They want change.
That's right.
They want something new.
That's right.
And they want
that's
someone to identify with.
And most of the youth in Liberia are unemployed.
Yeah, but let's exactly talk about this. The fact of the matter is Madam Cooper has made a difference on the ground. My research suggests that you are not really very much on the ground. You have no structures and all that kind of stuff. Is that true?
I'm not sure what is identified as structure. If you look across the country, there are barely any structures. I mean, there are government buildings. There are
I guess what Shaka is saying, well, in which of the 15 counties of Liberia are you most strong? I mean, your movement. What? There was a survey out, a poll out the other day, and each of the top five candidates that were mentioned in that poll, that were the leaders, had a stronghold in one or two of the 15 counties. In which county are you the strongest?
I first of all like to know which agency conducted a survey.
Well, this was the first time. This group did the, I would tell you, this was their first time.
But the polls were wrong on Brexit.
The polls were wrong on Hillary Clinton as well.
Precisely.
And in the U.S. election.
The polls were wrong in Canada.
Absolutely.
Polls have been wrong.
Polls has been wrong. And actually, we don't have agencies
and especially in Africa.
Of course.
Shaka, okay, that's what my question was, that in which of the 15 counties are you the strongest?
Come October 10th.
Yes.
Come October 10th on election day.
Yes.
We just declare the rights to election.
Yeah.
The campaign process has not been started yet, or at least declared open. We are not allowed to campaign. Everything we're doing, we're just planting seeds, reaching out to our friends, our family, our communities, and speaking about our ideas and what we'd like to do for the country. And we're operating not in a legal frame. So I'm a respecter of law. I lived in the United States for a couple of years, respected the laws here, and I live in Liberia, I respect the laws. Now, come June, at the end of June, the campaign season will be officially open. That's when you will see my actions across the country.
I'll be looking out for that.
I will be looking out for you as well.
Now, Ambassador Cooper, let's talk about the vision thing. What is your vision for Liberia?
My vision for Liberia is clear and simple. Create a strong economy in Liberia. But in order to do so, I have got to focus the first few years in office on providing basic services across the board for Liberians. That's where we're going to start. We have, like I mentioned, I cannot stop mentioning, our institutions and our systems need to be strengthening. Education. We have a very weak education system. 41,000 of our high school students went to take an entrance exam called the West African Examination, and 41,000 failed. 25,000 a few years ago, 2014, I believe it was, went to take a university entrance exam. 25,000 failed. That's a clear indication that our education system is failing our young people. Now, when I sit on the United Nations level and go to these high-level conferences, we're talking about technology, the advancement of technology across the world. I don't see my young people represented.
I see. Well, a reminder that you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please, don't go away.
Today's youth are not just the next generation of African leaders, they are today's leaders. And this is the time to invest in them, today, not tomorrow. So let's connect, let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies.
Innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known.
It's Upfront every Wednesday, 1730 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gizi. You're what? And welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. You know, we've talked about a lot of things, Ambassador Cooper, but we haven't talked about your ability, for example, to be an effective campaigner on the ground. In order for you to make any dent, surely you need deep pockets.
That's right.
Do you have them?
Well, the National Election Commission of Liberia said to run a presidential election, you will need, and you can only use, up to $2 million United States dollars. And so we're good. We're good for that.
Very interesting. Yeah.
So you have $2 million?
That's what I just said.
Oh, okay. I wanted to ask you, Ms. Cooper, I read the other day a letter, open letter to President Sirleaf about violence against women in Liberia. And the letter suggests that the president has done very little, has done something, but it's not enough. I want you to address that violence against women in Liberia and the whole idea of affirmative action. You're running for president.
Yes.
There is this consideration that very few women. I saw the other day Liberian senators line up. I did not see a lot of women there. What's your view on affirmative action, and what's your view on violence against women?
Well, let me tackle the violence against women piece there for a second. You see, the violence that's happening against women in Liberia, it's primarily cultural. It's not an issue with leadership. Yes, leadership can put policies in place that will prevent or at least take enforce laws that will prevent husbands from beating on their wives or brothers from attacking their sisters or community gang from attacking females. That's the government's role. But the ideas are all cultural. In certain tribe, it's okay for a man to beat on his wife to the point of death sometimes, because that shows love, as according to those tribal beliefs. That's something a leader can never stamp out of a society, but only through education. And that's why I preach education across the board for every person that calls himself a Liberian, not just the privileged few. And so also going back to the question of the affirmative action.
Before you get to affirmative action,
sure.
there is this thing about some important people in government who are, some of them in the legislature, who have babies with some of the girls who are underage.
That's right.
I want you to address that. What would you do if you're president?
Well, the idea is, there are cultural practices, and there are cultural practices that infringes on people's, citizens, individuals' human right. And those are things that will be stopped under my leadership. I don't care what the cultural practice is, as long as it's not productive and it infringes on some young woman or young man's human rights, it will have to stop.
Now, affirmative action.
Sure. The affirmative action supports 30% participation, female participation in the political arena. We haven't reached those numbers yet. I'm the only female amongst 22 political parties with all male candidates within the 2017 presidential race. That's a clear indication that we need to get more women involved. We're also having a representative elections as well.
Of course, you have Joe Howard Taylor running as a vice presidential candidate.
As a VP to George Weah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so people are still not comfortable, although we have Madame Sirleaf, who served 12 years. I get comments like, oh, one woman have served. We would never allow another woman to serve in this country. But that's a mentality of a person who is uneducated. So I don't look at that and say, oh, Liberian people don't want another female. If I'm speaking to someone who's highly educated, like Shaka sitting next to me here, and if he makes a comment like that, then I understand Shaka probably needs to go to some gender-sensitive class.
What makes you think that Shaka is that educated?
Shaka is very educated. Shaka is sitting in front of the world representing Africa. I believe you came here, or you got here because of your education.
Everybody is entitled to their different types of opinions,
absolutely,
but certainly not there are different sets of facts. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What is your single most important accomplishment that you think draws traction on the ground so that people may, in fact, want you to be the next occupant of the state mansion in Monrovia? And two, what about the single most regrettable decision you've done that could probably make it difficult for you to be the fountain of honor of Liberia?
Very good questions. And started with the first one. My reason for coming into this race is to do what I have done for the past 15 years, but not just for a few hundred individuals, Liberians. I want to do that for the 4.2 million Liberians, providing access to basic human rights. Africa can never move forward to compete with the Western world if we leave our people uneducated. If we do not provide basic human rights for our people, we will continue to look for foreign aid. Instead of selling or negotiating our commodities, we are giving it away in exchange for signature fees. A lot of our leaders now settle for signature fees versus creating contracts and concession agreements that benefit the entire country. That's a selfish act. And Magdalena Cooper could be anything, but a selfish person is one thing I'm not. Mm-hmm. I care about my country. The Western world has offered me a great deal of privilege, success, fame, popularity, great friends in high places. But I left all of those things, went back to my country where I don't even have a shower. I say a shower, a physical running shower.
You remind me a bit of the late, great Muhammad Ali, the way he used to talk. When you talk about education,
sure,
what type of education are we talking about here? Because there are lots of schools on the continent.
Yes.
Frankly, at the end of the day, kids come out with absolutely nothing. Are we talking about some type of quality education? And if so, what is that?
There are three categories of individuals, especially within the youth, amongst the youth. You have young people who were born during the Silver Crisis. They have aged out of traditional education. They can no longer be asked at 18 years old to go to the first grade. I want to see to it that all of those young people have access to vocational training. And then those young people who can go through traditional education have the best quality of education. So we build educational institution that will educate these young people to compete, not just in Liberia, but in Africa and eventually the rest of the world. We need better negotiators. Africa, you know, the former, I don't know if I should say this, but the former United States President Bill Clinton always says the future belongs to smart collaborators or creative collaborators, he would say sometimes. But my twist on that comment is that the future of Africa or the future belongs to smart negotiators. That's one thing we fall short with. We don't have good negotiators that can go on a table and negotiate on behalf of Africa. So our commodities are being sold at such less value.
Very interesting. What about the sort of experience you have gone through presenting yourself as a presidential candidate? What are the most significant advantages of being a woman in Liberia and Africa, you know, in general? And also, what are the significant, for example, advantages? In other words, the differences between the advantages and disadvantages. Obviously, Liberia, you've set a precedent.
Sure.
Even though some people have problems with the manner in which Ellen Johnson Sirleaf may have, in fact, won the last elections. But at least you have credit for having produced the first democratically female president on the continent.
Sure. Well, you know, I try not to focus too much on what people think. Because, like we said, everyone is entitled to their opinion.
Correct.
My opinion is work hard, which is something I've always done, and run a smart campaign and win this thing in October and create a whole new Liberia. The vision for Liberia is simple. Give young people the opportunity to better off themselves, provide jobs for our fathers, and give our mothers a decent place to give birth. Hmm. In 2017, mothers are still dying and giving birth under palm trees.
Hmm.
That's an abomination for the future and the hope I have for Liberia. So,
if you were to become president,
sure,
what would you do about the issue of dual nationality, really? A country like Liberia,
sure.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Pretty much a creation, frankly, of a diaspora of sorts. 1847, you become independent, and up to today, you don't allow dual nationality. Why?
Well, to me, that's something that has to be revisited, because if you look at our economy, we have an 85% underemployment rate. Our economy is being supported by foreign aid.
Firestone,
Mittelsteel, our European partners. But the Liberians in the diaspora who have access to U.S. citizenship are the ones who are scrubbing floors across America, are the ones who are cleaning bathrooms, are the ones who are taking care of the senior citizens of America and sending the hard and earned paychecks home to take care of their families when government cannot do it. So to exempt them from the process of Liberia, to me, it's not a smart idea. So I, Migdela Cooper, will welcome every Liberian, irrespective of whether you carry two passports or one. You are a Liberian, and you will enjoy the benefits of Liberia. And if you do attempt to participate in the political arena, you have every right because you've been funding our economy. And we want more Liberians funding Liberian economy than our foreign partners. That's how you become an independent nation.
James, how does it feel like to be a Liberian and yet not really be a Liberian? Because the last time I checked, you are disfranchised. You cannot vote, correct?
That's on the minds of some of the candidates. But because of the political sensitivity of that particular issue, some of them, when you ask that question, they tend to sidestep it. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying specifically, as she said, that if elected, that she would push for Liberians here in the United States or elsewhere to be have a chance to vote. Other countries do that.
Absolutely.
Very many, though.
Yeah, not very many. Mm. Not very many. But other countries do that. But you can tell that it is a politically sensitive issue because the argument is that people abroad tend to rush home whenever there's election to run for offices, when in fact they've never lived there to be part of the system. They tend to rush home, and they have more money than the people at home. So, you know, there are two sides to the coin. I wanted to ask you...
Unfortunately, again, time happens not to be our best ally.
Okay.
On that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Ambassador Migdela Cooper and VOA's James Sebate himself. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Sebate himself. And on behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Liberia. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.